text this morning, I'd like to read from chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew, and beginning with verse 2 and reading through verse 15. It's Matthew chapter 11, and beginning with the second verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do and hear and say. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out to witness into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye shall receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Father, these are your words. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through them, that the message that is said, that Father, it would be you that would be proclaiming that. Father, we pray for the strength and the guidance to continue on in this walk. Lord, we thank you and ask you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptist, as we know, had not too long before this, but about a year, maybe a little longer, had been doing the baptizing there in the River Jordan, and where he had baptized Jesus. But now he's in prison, and being there because he had the courage to tell the king that, hey, what you're doing is wrong. And the king, of course, was trying to take unto himself a wife that was not his. So he had the courage to tell them, no, that's not right. You're just acting against everything that God would have you do. Well, this didn't set too well, and of course John was put into prison, which I'm sure was not a good place to be. But as he was there, he began to hear rumblings, murmurings, stories, reports, whatever term you want to put on it, about this guy going around healing people. Now keep in mind, he's in prison. He can't see him. He can't talk to him. It's just stories that he's hearing. And he even says this, that that when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent his two disciples. So he had just heard about it. And he said to his disciples, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It's a question that he told them to ask Jesus. Now, it's not surprising that John felt this way. It's not surprising at all, because of him being in the situation that he was. And it wasn't that he was doubting. There was no doubting involved with it. But he wanted to make sure that what he heard was right and proper. In other words, there was no gossip involved, I guess, if you could say it that way. It's a problem today, too, hey, you know what I heard? About that time, we should just shut our ears down and just say, no, I don't know what you heard, nor do I want to know what you heard. Because it's not good. God does not want us to be spreading any type of gossip, any type of rumors, or any false stories. Or if they are true, then do as John did and go and find out. Go and find out for yourself. As a friend of mine tells me, go to the source. Don't start thinking, well, you know what I heard? Because that's a sure sign that, yeah, there might be a smidgen of truth in there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be true. So he sends his disciples out and to ask the question that, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? The message that Jesus was speaking in these next few verses really was contrary to what John did during the time of the baptism that he was doing, and when the people were coming to him, and he was paving the way, so to speak, for Jesus to walk. In the third chapter of Matthew, verses 10 through 12, it talks about what John had said. And he actually called the scribes and Pharisees a generation of vipers, called them snakes. He was warning them of the judgment. He was warning the people, look, you need to have this salvation. Otherwise, there's no hope. But now the message that Jesus was spreading around was totally contrary to that. Jesus was preaching grace. Jesus was preaching salvation, which is really opposite of what John had been doing. So you could, from looking at it from that viewpoint, you can kind of understand that there might have been a little bit of confusion there. There might have been a little bit of thinking going on. I got to go check this out. I've got to check out the source. So he said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to him, go and show John again these things which you do hear and say. He's telling this to John's disciples. And then he goes on to explain, or Jesus does, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What a beautiful message, a perfect message, because that was the very reason for Christ to come. He came to heal. He didn't come to condemn, but he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal those that were sick, both physically and spiritually. And then he says in the verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that verse I've read many times, and I never really understood what it meant. So I started looking into it a little bit. And in, how do I say it? I guess in today's English, today's vernacular, if you will. He's basically saying this. He says, Jesus is saying, blessed is he that doesn't give up on me. And that's the message that even it goes out today. Blessed is he that doesn't give up on me. He's connecting or telling John that he is the Christ. Blessed is he that does not give up on me. In some of the areas where I was looking and kind of studying on this, there are some that say that what Jesus was referring to here was his crucifixion. Blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. And we know that while Jesus was on the cross, there were a lot of people that were condemning him, but there were some that were still worshiping him. There were some that were still looking on him. And there were some that, however, maybe quietly, praising him. But they didn't give up on him. We see that with Mary as she went to the tomb. The disciples were in the inner room. They waited for him. They didn't give up on him. Nor are we to. Even though when times may get tough at sometimes, when things get really, really down, Satan sure can come to us and cause problems in that way. Don't give up on him, because he doesn't give up on us. He does not give up on us in any way, shape, or form. And then it goes on, and it says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. People are attracted to preachers. People are attracted to those who spread a message. But it seems like they're more than that. They're attracted more if there's a lot of fluff, maybe I could say. That they like to see, and they're cast more importance on those that are substantially better off. We know the John was dressed in camel hair, had a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey, which was not necessarily the common thing for them to be eating at that, even in that day. So he was different. So Jesus is asking them, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Did you go out to see somebody that was kind of maybe wishy-washy, moving back and forth, or did he have a strong message? Did he have a message that could not be contradicted or could not be argued about? Or did you go out there to see people that were in fancy clothes, people that were dressed real nice? Well, that type of stuff goes on in the king's houses. Doesn't go out or go along in God's kingdom. And that's not to say, please don't get me wrong, that's not to say that we shouldn't be wearing that type of stuff. But the point is the importance that is placed upon it. That's not what we should be doing. So he says, but what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And this was proclaimed already in the Old Testament. You turn back to the book of Malachi, and you look in chapter 3, verse 1. And he says this. He says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. It's already prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, one thing we have to remember, that John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament. There were none to come after him. He was the last one. And his message was proclaiming salvation. His message was proclaiming, or was to pave the way for Jesus to come. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. John's message was a message of hope. His message was a message of salvation. His message was a message of repentance. but above all, his message was to proclaim the Savior, whom he knew. Last week we talked about it a little bit when Mary had gone up to Elizabeth's house and walked into the house and greeted the household. And John jumped in Elizabeth's womb because he recognized the voice of his the mother of his Savior. He recognized that Jesus was present. And Elizabeth, even at that time, recognized that Mary was indeed the mother of her Lord. John knew what he was doing, and he obeyed. And that's the key. And that's the key we all have to take today. Obey. Obey when God tells you to do something. Obey when you are led to do something. And it's real easy to refute it. I speak from experience. It's real easy to boy, I don't know if I want to go down that road. But you see, God is there. He's there going before you. He's there going before me, and he's paving the way, and he's providing protection and strength so that we would all be able to know and understand that where our salvation lies and be able to give that message to any and all that would hear it. And he said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers. Or suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus is talking about days past, Old Testament times. And we know that we can read in the Old Testament, and there was a lot of violence. There was a lot of it that went on. But he's also describing his death, or his future death, if you will. And he says, in the end, he says, and the violent take it by force. Well, how was it that Jesus was taken? He didn't walk up to anybody and say, okay, well, here I am. Let's get on with this and get it over. No. They had to come and take him by force. They had to come and take him and crucify him. I just read something here in the last couple of days. A very descriptive writing about what Jesus had to go through. And it was taken from historical writings, and I'm not going to go into it, but about what it was like to be crucified and what was involved. And they had it down fine-tuned. They knew exactly what could be done and what couldn't be done because they did not want that person to die before he was crucified. It was a horrible, horrible punishment. And it was by far and away the worst punishment that one could go through. But the point is that he knew he was going to have to go through that. He knew what that penalty was going to be because of our sin. And he knew that he had to suffer it. But we know also that in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, that, Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done. It had to have been hard on the human form of him, the human form of Jesus, because he was indeed truly man. It had to be so difficult. I can only imagine. And yet God was with him. God blessed him. God encouraged him and lifted him up. And he allowed him to continue on that path that was his to walk. And for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, all that violence, all that stuff that took place, they all prophesied about John, as we have read. And then he says, and if you receive this, if you receive it, this is Elias, or this is Elijah, which was for to come. And again, this is prophesied in Malachi. If we go to the fourth chapter, and I believe it's verse 5. chapter 4 of Malachi, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Two terms in there, great and dreadful. Great for those who believe, dreadful for those who don't. And it's not something that I could ever imagine that anybody would want to face if they understand who and what their salvation is, who and what their Savior is. It's something that nobody would ever want to go through. And in verse 15, he says, "And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I've always wondered about that. It's been kind of a little bit of a mystery to me. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It kind of sounds like it's repeating itself. But what he's saying, very simply, is he that believes, it's he that trusts in Christ, he that knows who his salvation is, let him hear. Let him hear that message. Let him be encouraged. Let him be lifted up. Let him rejoice in that message, that salvation belongs to that person because they believe and they trust and they recognize that their salvation is through faith in their Lord and Savior. Amen.